The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Rachel Gilbert helps you renovate your body image by seeing it through God's eyes.
We do live in a world who rejoices over outward beauty. And like, yeah. We even notice it on each other. Like, I even notice, ooh, I love your top. Like, we're humans. We're wired to see that. I think it's even a good thing that we have eyes and we can enjoy beauty. Yeah. And we can appreciate it, but we were never designed to be hyper aware of what we look like.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. I think you're going to really enjoy today's guest.
Yes, it's I've already talked to our guest.
Have you?
Yeah, online.
Okay,
so it's good.
It's really good, and it's a great conversation. I mean, I think it's a kind of a difficult subject, but there are so many people struggling with this, and we're living in a culture that is so body obsessed. I picked up her book the other day, and I started looking through it, and then I went online and started reading a ton of reviews, and it was blowing me away how much this was inspiring and affecting so many women, especially their lives, where they've had so many self-help books on the shelf, and I'm excited you're here. Rachel Gilbert, thank you so much. I'm excited to talk to you about this a little bit and dive into this, and let's go back a little bit. Give us a little backstory on you and really why this was so important for you to write.
Absolutely. Well, Tammy, I'm excited to be here and talking with both you in person. And just like pretty much any author that writes something, they have a backstory, right? You don't just kind of set out and just write something because I feel like it. That just seems fun.
Right.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for sure. And I, you know, just a quick overview of me, I grew up a little overweight, nothing too crazy, but I, in high school, had a hip injury that caused me to lose weight. It's the first and only time in my life I dropped about 30 pounds in a month. And in that season, I got healthier, which was a great thing. But then the enemy, in hindsight, I see, deposited a lie in me in that season that my identity was wrapped up in what do I look like? What do I weigh? And it became this whole obsession. You said that word a second ago, obsession. Yeah. And we swing between the land of obsession and neglection. And that was me. We call it yo-yo dieting. That's the term for it, right? We're back and we're forth and we're back and we're hostage to these lands. And so I did. I went on and got my undergraduate degree in exercise physiology because I thought I was an obsession. I'm going to learn everything I can about the human body. Man, I'm going to become an expert. And I did. I got that degree. And then I became a stay-at-home mom and I taught group fitness for a little over a decade. And I remember I had gone on to another group fitness training and this was a pretty intense one. And I was just working hard and we had to do these video things to like audition to even finish the certification. And I'll never forget, we were standing in this little group afterwards. We'd done these auditions and the lead instructor, he came up to me and he said, because if you meet me in person, I'm kind of a quiet, a little more reserved person, but you give me a microphone and I tend to come alive. And he said, Rachel, like he was just gushing. He was like, Rachel, I have never seen an instructor as like as talented as you. He's going on and on. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then he said, but how old is your son? And I said, he's 3. And he said, all right, what's your excuse? Why do you still have fat on your stomach? He was like, if you want to teach for our company, he said, that's got to go. He said, you're amazing, but you got to get rid of the stomach. And I remember I walked away from that training thinking, okay, so here's what you're telling me. I have the talent, I have the skill, but if I don't look the part, I cannot play on your team. And I just remember, I was a believer, you know, at the time, and I just remember thinking, Lord, I am so sick of doing this the way the world is telling, like, there's gotta be more. So I went on my own personal journey to freedom and healing, and honestly even walked away from the fitness industry for a little bit and came back and did things differently. And in that season, I thought, okay, Lord, let's do it. Let's write a book and let's help other women. But God said, actually, I would like you to go back to school and become a counselor. And so I did. After being a stay-at-home mom for over a decade, I went back to school and got my master's in marriage and family therapy. And I know why he had me do that was because I needed to sit with other women Men too struggle with this, by the way.
Right.
And just hearing all these stories, it helped me to shape exactly what you're talking about, this book to be a soft landing space for women to come in and get the healing and hope that I know they so desperately need.
So many have struggled with it their whole life.
Yep.
Maybe from that first time that somebody spoke into their life that said, I don't like your body. Like, if you look like Kristen, wow, I'd be really into you. Or, I'm just kidding, I don't really like you because you're fat, you're ugly, your hair, your nose, your thighs, whatever. That stuff sticks with us our entire life.
Yep.
And so many women that I know today that are still carrying around all of these awful, awful thoughts of themselves, it affects every area of their life. How do you get to the root of this to find victory? Because we talk about it, and there are a lot of books out there that aren't helping anybody. How and why is your book different? But again, going back to that first question, how do you get to the root? How do we even find the root of this?
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to do is to get to the roots.
Like, okay.
That's what I do for a living. Okay. I get to the root of things. I do something in the book, and I do this in counseling. It's called a body image timeline. And most of us don't know the root because we don't take the space to go, actually, I think the thing I've been living under is not from God. I always like to say, do these certain behaviors or does this way of thinking, is it life-giving? Any thought or any behavior that's disempowering is not from the Lord. And so when we can recognize this is not from the Lord, there's no life in this, then we can stop and go, okay, let's look at all these things. And when you look at a body image timeline, exactly, I just was counseling people last week that exactly like you said, they can tell me story after story after story from as young as 6, 7 years old of things that we call these small T traumas in counseling, of that they just were kind of like stacking stones. And that's what small T traumas are. And it's because just over the years, there's been those core messages, like is what you're saying, we call those core beliefs that shape how we're not born with core beliefs. You learn it from whatever environment you were brought up in, your family of origin, your school, your church, all the things are shaping us. And so that we get to the root by making space, which is exactly why I wrote my book in the way I did. I call it an experience because every chapter has space to journal, to color, to reflect on what did you just learn. I would rather you read one chapter a month and it took you a whole year to read my book and actually stop and process what God's saying to you in that moment than to just speed read it.
Can I back up for just a second? Because there are sometimes it feels like mixed messages in the church when it comes to the body, right? You know, we can look at it as, oh, you know, your workout, it's just vanity, right? And then we can go to the other side and say, well, you know, it's not what goes in the body, it's what goes in the spirit that counts. So therefore, I'm just going to trash out this temple of the Holy Spirit. What is the right balance between idolizing our body, you know, versus taking responsibility and stewarding what we are given?
Yeah. Randy, I love you literally just wrapped up what we were talking about a second ago, that swinging between the lands of obsession and neglection. Both lands have different sins in them. One land, especially obsession, pride and shame. And then you swing over to neglect and say, ah, who cares? My spirit's what matters and everything. And now we've got gluttony. We've got all kinds of different things that we're saying. And those are their sins. Yeah. And so that's the thing I did. I dedicated a whole chapter to idols because we do. We have these idols in our heart that hold us hostage and we can justify them. And really the Lord just wants us free. And so he wants that balance. He doesn't want us over here in the land of obsession. He also doesn't want us over here in the land of neglection because we do need our body.
Do we have to deal with that first? Is that more of a root, the pride or the vanity or the gluttony and the laziness, you know, the wrong thinking?
Yeah.
Does that have to go first before we can really do the body thing right?
I think it's a matter of the heart. Everything comes back to the heart, and it is us submitting our heart to the Lord on a daily basis. It's really important that people recognize it's the daily, because I wrote a book on body image, and guess what? I still have days that if I don't submit my heart to the Lord, I'm back there in an unhealthy space, and I'm like, well, hold on, I have to snap out of it. But yeah, I believe when you submit your heart, then he can go, oh, hey, do you see that? that's not from me. And we can repent and he can start to show us those things. And he can also then show us the hurts and the things that have happened to us, like the mean comments and the things that have shaped us too. Because we can't deny the fact that we do live in a world who rejoices over outward beauty. And like we even notice it on each other. Like I even notice, ooh, I love your top. Like we're humans. We're wired to see that. That's I think it's even a good thing that we have eyes and we can enjoy beauty and we can appreciate it, but we were never designed to be hyper aware of what we look like. And we know that just because the very first thing when Adam and Eve fell, like, okay, this is a whole new thing we hadn't noticed before.
That's right. I think we're so hyper aware now, even because of social media. Mm-hmm. Why do people have such a need to tear other people down and destroy them with their words? And it affects people so deeply to the point of even suicidal thoughts that aren't just a struggle here and there, but sometimes it's a daily struggle with, I don't want to live anymore because they start believing these things. And I think that's why, Rachel, your book is so important right now to help people that are struggling with these things that are just have such a hold on their life and taking away their freedom. I think you have so many quotes throughout. You know, when someone says something, you're like, yes. And I'm telling you, there's one that I wrote down that it said this, that while we can't lose God's love or salvation, we can walk away from freedom. Yep. And it's so true. When God is offering us freedom, even in your book, you are helping to offer freedom to so many people. Why do we choose to walk away from that?
From the freedom?
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe that shame sits on us so heavily. For example, like I said, if you have a day where we didn't embrace the freedom, we didn't receive all that the Lord had for us, instead of running to the Father, again, let's look at Adam and Eve. One of the first things they did was they hid, right? I mean, that's still in us. It's like, okay, I sinned, or I maybe made a bad choice, or I didn't connect to the Lord. I think it's really hard for us as humans to receive His unconditional love. Amen. Because that's everything opposite. Again, back to body image, we're wired that I look a certain way, I get love. I perform a certain way, I get love. And now we try to apply that to God. And so if I mess up or something, instead of just running back to Him and going, like Adam and Eve, like, why didn't they run to Him? Like, Lord, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. We did this. And instead they hid. But here's the thing I love about the Lord. Even in our hiding, He pursues us. He came and found Adam and Eve. Like, even when we don't run to Him and say, oh, you know, I messed up, or I've lost that freedom, He'll still come find us. And that is that unconditional love. You can't explain it. We don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. But yet here He is. He's like, I love you, daughter. I love you, son. I'm for you. I want that relationship. And that's my heart too on this, is that restored union with the Lord, like just restored and within ourselves and with Him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what He wants. He wants to walk and talk with us and hang out with us.
Yeah, exactly. Do you ever wish that Adam and Eve had been given clothes from the very beginning? Because it's an awkward Bible story, if we're honest about it. It's this whole thing. But I think it goes to what you're talking about. They were completely seen and known by God and fully loved. Mm. And I think very few of us can look in the mirror and go, yeah, I love all that, right?
I mean, every time I
rest in front of the mirror, I'm like, oh, I need to, you know. They haven't given me the ultimatum of lose the stomach or lose your job, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's just a whole different mindset that we have to get into in order to be healthy in that regard.
Yeah.
How do we get there?
Ooh, I love working on mindset things because this is a principle. It's a cognitive behavioral therapy principle, CBT, and it's just that your thoughts affect your feelings and your feelings affect your behaviors. I call that the triangle effect. And so if people can remember that my thought process, it's driving my feelings and my feelings are driving my behaviors.
I thought your feelings determine your thoughts, though.
No.
I saw that on TV once.
Actually, you have a little bit of a point in that they all are. So there's, they all affect each other. Mm. So it is a cycle.
But if I start with my thoughts and align them with what God says in His Word, will it change how I feel?
Well, it will.
That's good news.
Yeah. It is, exactly. And that's what I love about when we take this approach, because the world is selling us behavior change. They're saying, hey, if you do this, if you change this, then you're going to be happy. But that's just not true. Mm. It all starts with the thoughts, and it drives everything. And so when you can look at that, but I also like people to, I feel like people kind of live in these lands of they're either really comfortable with the thoughts or they're really comfortable with the feelings, but they're, one of them makes them a little uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, let's address the thought, but then let's also sit in the feeling. Your feelings are just telling you what's happening in your heart. Doesn't mean that it's always like an accurate thing we should make decisions off of, but it's showing me, hey, I feel this, and just sitting in that, bringing it up and out. Yeah. Well,
I think to myself, I should eat something really healthy today, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And so one of them is going to win.
Yeah.
And if you're telling me that my thoughts can actually win, that's empowering.
Yeah. And even just a simple switch of, oh, I have to eat something healthy sometimes, instead of, oh, I get to eat this healthy thing because it's going to fuel my body and I'm going to have energy. And, ooh, that's exciting. Maybe I could find a recipe that would make this fun. And it does. It just changes the entire trajectory of your thought process, your feelings, and then your day, too.
When someone walks into your office and says, Rachel, I am at the end. I have nothing more to give. I have nothing more to pray. I see no worth. I see no value. I believe everything that's been spoken over my life. What would be the one thing that you would tell them? This is where I would start. Start here. And if you start here, then we'll go to the next, we'll go to the next, and you will find victory in your life. But what would you tell them today? This is where I would start.
Wow. First of all, before I would tell them where to start, I would tell them that I'm so glad that they're there, because it means that they still have some fight left in them. I have had people that walk in just like, this is my last stitch effort. What can we do here? I'm always bringing them back to you.
Amen.
The Lord and right, what is He saying here, and just inviting Him into that space and letting Him bring up wherever it is that we're supposed to start.
Absolutely.
And He shows me things to just let them know that He sees them, because that's essentially what people want to know is, does God see me?
Yep.
Like, I know He sees everybody else and I believe that, but does He see me and what I'm going through? And so few people have anybody to sit with them in that and to say, I hear you. I care about you. Your life matters. Your voice matters. You matter.
Right.
And just having that space for them to be able to process. We've briefly touched on this, but they've been carrying things for decades.
Right.
That's heavy.
That's right.
That is so heavy.
What I hear you saying, too, is they've been carrying things for decades. They've showed up. So you do nothing alone, and you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
So if you're there and you're asking, where do I start? What do I do? There is help available. There are great godly counselors and therapists that can help you begin the process of finding victory over this in your life, but you don't have to do it alone. Find somebody. You don't have to carry it alone. Obviously, we know as believers that Jesus will carry it, but He's also gifted people with experiences like you, Rachel, that know how to navigate and help others get through this time in their life that may have been their entire life.
Yeah.
You know what? You can kind of walk with people today if you request Rachel's book, Image Restored. We would gladly send that to you today as you help us with the health of some other people.
Yeah.
There are people right now that are very sick in their bodies, and we can do something about it. And that's what kind of what the theme of is today.
Yeah.
Let's do something about it, right?
Yeah.
Watch this and you'll see how.
Yeah, Jeannie, I wanted to show you of where this village collects their water. It's just, it's incredible. Look, it's only a couple inches deep, just a few inches deep, and
you
can't even see the bottom.
Oh my goodness.
And this is an area that last year had a cholera outbreak, okay? And over 20 people got killed, died from cholera.
Cholera is an intestinal infection caused by ingestion of food or water contaminated with the cholera bacterium, and it can kill a person within hours.
I lost my child because of the cholera. We faced this disease here because of the unclean water.
rural villages in African countries like Burundi often have no access to clean water. And when animals and people share a dirty water supply, a cholera outbreak can be imminent.
We lost many persons. We're always burying people.
Cholera still remains a global threat, especially in the world's poorest countries. Over a billion people are at risk, and children under 5 years old account for more than half of the global incidences and deaths.
Kids and people should not be drinking this dirty water at all.
Disease, pollutants of all kinds then come into this water, and it's just flowing all through this whole valley, isn't
it? All through the whole valley.
And this is it for them.
And they desperately, desperately need clean water. We have to have wells. We have to.
You know, the words that stuck out the most to me in this piece were, we are always burying people. Cholera comes in within hours and takes a life. When we talk about the urgency, and you hear that maybe every day from us, and you think, oh, I keep hearing the same thing, but I'm telling you, we never get tired of bringing it to you, because the urgency is very real. We're always burying people. Could you even imagine speaking those words about your friends or your family or your community right now? I can't. But to these people in these villages, that's a very real reality. So what will it take to change that kind of language? It honestly takes something so simple, clean water. Get them away from that water source that is bringing them death, and bring them life, life-giving water that would change everything forever. We are committed to 350 wells over 20 nations. $48 will give water to 10. $144 will give water to 30. $4,800 will drill an entire well that will provide water for an entire village of about 1,000 people that'll last in their lifetime. So it's not a lot that we're asking. It might be a lot individually. So we're asking, well, let's come together. Let's do this together. Randy, I know we talk about that a lot, doing things together, because I think it changes something when we partner with other believers to do things together, to tackle something so tough that might seem so big, but together, it's not so enormous, and we can actually make a difference.
Well, and you're right, because we've seen this. You've seen this over the years, right? As you've been out, we've both been out into places where the water is polluted, where it's scarce, where it's the only option for people. And we have also seen what happens when we go in and that fresh water that's oftentimes hundreds of feet deep, when it comes out, boy, the look of joy. And the reason they're so joyful is because they know that it's life. Because they've all lost a loved one to cholera or some other waterborne disease. And so this is why this is big to us. This is why we've been doing it for so many years, and why we will continue as long as there is a need. And the need is great. How do you handle something so big? Well, it's one at a time. It's one small gift at a time. It's one $48 gift that gives fresh, clean water to 10 people, one $144 gift, one $4,800 well. It's one person, you, working with us here, with our teams on the ground, that goes in and it changes the life of one person. It saves the life of a young one. This is the beauty of doing it. And by the way, we always do it with the gospel. We demonstrate the gospel in word and deed. And this is what separates us from many people that are doing a wonderful work of providing clean water. We go and we say, here is water for life. Water that will bring life, water that will last most of your lifetimes. But we also say there's also another water of life, and that's Jesus Christ. What more powerful witness is there than to provide people with their basic needs? And so, Tammy, I'm excited. I want everybody to go online, to go to the phone and say, yes, I want to be a part of giving the water of life in Christ while we give water to these people that are suffering. Will you do it? Will you go right now online, go to the phones, whichever you're most comfortable with, make the best gift you can. Do it today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Do go online or go to the phone right now. Make the best gift you can. You will change somebody's life for the better. It's within our power to do good. Let's do it. I'm excited about it. And you know what? This book, Image Restored, Tammy, people can ask for it today.
Yes.
We will gladly send it to you. And Rachel, before I let you go, I have one question, because I noticed on the cover, Image Restored is the title, but the word rest is set off. What does that mean?
Yeah, at the end of every chapter, we are resting in God's word. We're so used to striving, right? We're just like, okay, we're pausing, we're resting, and then we're inviting the Holy Spirit into that journaling time to say, Holy Spirit, walk with me through this. What do you want me to rest in today? What do you want me to receive today?
That's good.
Yeah.
I love it.
So good. What a great day talking with you, and what a great book. Thank you for investing in this, putting your own life at the front line to write about your own experiences to help somebody else. It's an interactive book, 6 sessions, and it includes videos. You're going to want to get it. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being here, and thank you for watching Life Today. We'll see you next time.
Next week, missionary and author Katie Davis Majors teaches us how to start trading our fears and anxieties for God's unshakable peace. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.